When all the votes are finally counted in New York this year, Democrats will continue to have a comfortable majority in the state Senate and Assembly, ensuring that the party will continue to dominate state government through 2022. In response to this dynamic, GOP state lawmakers are rekindling something of a fringe idea that representation in the state Senate be based on one senator per county instead of basing apportionment on population. To discuss the idea, we spoke Tuesday afternoon with its Assembly sponsor, Watertown Republican Mark Walczak, who recently was reelected for a second term. Welcome to the show, Assemblyman.
Great to be here, and I'm not so sure I would call it a fringe idea. It's based off of the federal constitution.
But it's not like it's got a lot of traction in New York at this point.
Well, it's always going to be a challenge when you're talking about taking a power away from anybody. And I think we're going to have an uphill battle here, but I think it's really important to have this dialogue.
So yeah, let's start the dialogue. Explain how this system of 62 senators would work.
So everybody's familiar with the proposal that Senator Grifo and I have put forward.
Everybody might be a stretch, but keep going.
Well, because they're familiar with the way that the federal government mm-hmm. is set up. So just like there are two senators per state in the United States, we're proposing to have one senator per county here in New York State.
Why?
It's about equal representation. So the founding fathers, they were concerned about balance of power and checks and balances. The same principle is here in this proposal. The founding fathers weren't looking to say, well, let's make sure with whatever system we set up, there is oppression of the minority, and that to the victor go the spoils, and that 51% rule the other 49. They wanted to make sure that there were checks and balances and a balanced power in our government.
So you say equal representation, but in this system, it's not necessarily equal if I live in, say, Albany County and I'm voting for a state senator compared to Wayne County, which has a much smaller population and therefore would have a much larger voice. So how do we get equal representation then?
Well, it's about balance, right? So the state assembly would remain the way that it is right now based on apportionment. My house would stay exactly the same. The Senate would change to be one senator per county. So this sort of shifts the power in one house of our bicameral legislature to make sure that each county has a representation.
So equal for who, though? So it's just equal by county? Each county has an equal voice, you're saying?
Absolutely.
So, but not all counties. I mean, maybe this is articulate way to say it, but it doesn't seem like all counties are created equal. I mean, we've got counties in New York City, the five boroughs, that are demonstrably larger. So, I mean, are they equal?
Well, they certainly deserve a voice, and I think when you look back at the federal system, mm-hmm. you could say the same question. You know, Vermont right next door only has one congress member, or Wyoming or Alaska, one congress member, but they all still have two United States senators. They're equally represented in the United States Senate, and we're looking for that equal representation, the same model as the federal government here in New York State.
It seems then that you're treating the federal government setup as the ideal best way of governing when in actuality people have had concerns about the U.S. Senate since its creation when it was part of the Great Compromise from Connecticut and one of the key institutions that helped preserve slavery for 80 years before it came down during the Civil War. So why do you think the Senate and that model is so great if people do have a lot of concerns about it, and even the founders who opposed it?
Well, look, the system is never perfect, but it can always be better. This is one in a giant conversation. You know, I think Senator Grifo and I have put this forward because there's been some divisive conversations about splitting up New York State. We believe that this is a great experiment in democracy. And that New York State, you know, whether you live in New York City or Long Island or upstate New York or Western New York or the Southern Tier, we can come together and put policies forward that make sense for everybody. But that includes, and it has to include, making sure that everybody has a voice and a seat at the table in Albany.
So when you talk about a voice, and I think about the current makeup of the legislature, and I think of the Transportation Committee in the Assembly, it's run by an upstate Democrat. In the Senate, it's also run by an upstate Democrat. The majority leader in the Assembly is an upstate Democrat. So what do you mean when you say upstate doesn't have a voice in the legislature?
Well, the three leaders, the governor, the leader of the Senate, and the speaker of the Assembly are all from downstate.
But I don't understand. They have representation. And also, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins would push back on the idea that she's from upstate, coming from Westchester County. Maybe that's a bit of a misleading argument.
When you're from as far north as I am, yeah, that's certainly downstate.
But so why does that matter, though, that the leaders, I mean, there are people in important power positions that are from upstate. And even when Republicans had the majority, the Long Island is where the leader came from. So why do those positions matter? It seems like having those committee chairs are just as important.
Yeah, committee chairs are important. Look, I think it's important to point out that this isn't a partisan proposal. This isn't about Republicans or Democrats.
It sure seems like it, though.
Well, I mean, and like the arguments have been about the United States Senate in the past, this is about ensuring that counties have a strong voice in their state government, that local governments have more control, more say-so with what we do in Albany.
So I trace back the root of your bill, which predates you, and according to state records, it was first introduced in 2009 in the state Senate when Democrats took control of the Senate from Republicans for the first time in decades. And maybe I'm just a cynical journalist, I've been around too long, but that suggests this bill is rooted solely in kind of these sore losers in the state Senate, who these Republicans who, you know, just lost power and didn't like the system that they were operating in, so they wanted to change the rules. So, you know, why should listeners not be as cynical about this as me?
Well, I'm carrying the bill in the Assembly, and I encourage any Assembly member to sign onto this bill. It really doesn't affect our House, but it does create checks and balances in New York State. It's not about Republicans and Democrats. It's about giving rural New York some balance and a seat at the table in Albany.
The Senate in New York is currently constructed, and in the Assembly, has a makeup that more closely resembles the people of the state than the way the U.S. Senate reflects the population of America. I think about how the Senate currently only has three members, black members, in the U.S. Senate. How would you prevent that kind of picture from taking root in the New York State Senate under our system of each county getting a senator? Or is that not such a concern in this case?
I don't really imagine that makeup would change too much. I think when you look across the counties, there's rural populations that are diverse. There's plenty of metropolitan areas throughout upstate. It's about providing that equal voice.
But I kind of envision that this system of counties electing their own senator would lead to a real big influx in GOP senators, likely, seeing how there's in the mid-20s heading into 2021. And currently, on the state Senate side, at least, there's no Senate Republicans of color. So would it be important then for the Republican Party to be more inclusive then and try to reach out to more candidates of color?
I'm not sure when you look at countywide elected officials, I'm not sure that that's true. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that, any particular group, and certainly not Republicans or Democrats, would necessarily be favored by this proposal. Again, I don't think it's a partisan measure. And when you look across, like, my area, for example, my assembly district is almost split 50-50 Republican and Democrat. I have a slight Republican enrollment advantage. But people will vote for the best candidate. And each one of the counties that I represent has elected Democrats.
You mentioned early on that idea that's been floating around about splitting the state up into different portions. What do you think of those legislative ideas that would create some sort of autonomous regions, including a separate area north of New York City?
Look, it's a part of the dialogue. I think you have to look at those measures, and I think everything is on the table here. But we wanted to put this forward. Senator Griffo and I put this measure forward because I think sometimes when you get into split the state, you're dividing New Yorkers quite literally on a map, and we need to come together to govern together. So providing balance and checks and balances seems like a more reasonable way to go.
Thinking about that federal system, it also brings to mind the Electoral College. And then I wonder, would you like to see our governor elected in a way akin to the Electoral College, maybe with voters selecting county electors who would be assigned by county population instead of just having a direct popular vote in New York?
Yeah, I've heard that proposed. It's not a part of this bill. Something that I think I would think about. Mm-hmm. I think that New York State could easily elect a Republican. They've done so in the past. I see people's concerns with the Electoral College. Not really a part of this proposal.
So if you think Republicans could elect a governor, why don't you think that they could theoretically elect a majority of state senators and swing back control and give upstate theoretically a larger voice that way?
Well, they could. They've had that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But we know that with redistricting, especially coming up, and reapportionment of districts, that there is going to be only one party in the room when those district lines are drawn. And I have a tremendous amount of concern about how fair that process is going
You're
to be.
You're skeptical that the Democrats in power won't take a very independent and just altruistic approach to redistricting? You think there'll be something akin to what the Senate Republicans did in 2010 and the Assembly Democrats in 2010? Is that what, I mean, you've only been here 2 years and you're that cynical?
Well, look, I mean, when the Republicans had control of the Senate, there was that balance. Mm-hmm. They don't right now, so that balance isn't there. I have a lot of concerns about the fairness of the process. I think some of these things may be litigated in the future. This, you know, even this proposal would certainly be. There's plenty of, Supreme Court precedents for one person, one vote. Mm-hmm. Reynolds v. Sims back in 1964. But, you know, when you're talking about a decision that was made 56 years ago in a nation that is 225 years old, we're still pretty new in this representative democracy, and we can figure out how to do it better, how to bring more balance. And we're always doing that here. And that's why this bill is being brought up.
From a practical perspective, assuming, you know, in the interim, before your bill becomes law,
I like that. There's some optimism.
We like to be very optimistic here. There is a upstate Democratic caucus, very informally. It's sort of led by Bill Magnarelli of Syracuse. They don't have sort of the staying power that some of the traditional caucuses in the legislature have. Would you like to see them empowered more within the assembly and, you know, potentially have the ability to reach across the aisle with Republicans in upstate, which they essentially aren't empowered to do in this current system where Carl Hastie, the assembly speaker from the Bronx, really only lets them exist as sort of like a minor nuisance and not like someone who has, you know, equal voice in the chamber. So would you like to see them empowered more so that you could actually like reach across the aisle and create partnerships with them?
Well, you said that, not me. And I have a great working relationship with a lot of upstate Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I think that just kind of hits the point, right? There are many upstate Democrats in the Assembly and in the Senate that probably wish that there was greater representation in upstate New York and for our counties and local governments. They see the struggles. They see the population outflow. They see the New York City ideas, frankly, that come upstate and make no sense to their constituents when they try to bring them back home, whether it's through a budget process or a big ugly or whatever we do here in the legislature. I mean, they have to answer for their votes at the end of the day when they bring them home. And I think having the balance by having one senator per county would really help.
We've been speaking with Assemblymember Mark Walczak. He is a Watertown Republican who was recently elected to a second term in office. Assemblyman, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Wonderful to be here. Good to see you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.